Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. This is so exciting. They're about to start up again. Chicago's Canine Cruise. It began the whole idea of taking dogs on one of those cruises that goes on Lake Michigan and also the Chicago River. It began the whole notion of it right here on this radio show. I don't know how many years ago it was. Well, ask Holly Agra, the co-owner of Mercury Skyline Cruise Line, when she is here in just a bit to talk about it. Chicago's own. We're so happy we have Dr. Dana Varbel, who also is very fancy because she nationally is very important. Chief Veterinary Officer at VMX, the veterinary conference, the largest and probably largest in the United States, and therefore one of the largest on the planet. And it's back. It was wonderful to be there in person, Dr. Varbel, to see you and so many other people. I mean, that's actually, I did something I can tell you. You won't tell anyone?
I'm ready to hear it. I'll keep your secret. What is it?
I hugged people. I know.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been great to see people and have those interactions again.
And what I had the honor to do was to speak with you. And you spoke about the Human-Animal Bond. It was for the Human-Animal Bond Association track at this conference, which happens every year. And I'm on the board of that organization, that non-for-profit that supports the Human-Animal Bond. Without the Human-Animal Bond, we wouldn't be here talking. There'd be no purpose.
Exactly. No pets.
I know. I wouldn't have a pet radio show. None of that would matter.
Exactly.
But it matters not only for dogs and cats, and this is what you talked about.
Yeah.
It matters for other species, like tortoises of various kinds, like pet budgies, you know, the birds we call parakeets sometimes.
Yes.
It matters for corn snakes, snakes even, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know?
And in fact, you showed it a slide at the very beginning of a woman who was, and I didn't quite understand, I hadn't heard of her before. She's like one of the originators with the Human-Animal Bond with snakes.
Yes.
And she had a pet cobra?
She did. It was a great, it was a picture of Grace Olive Wiley, and she was a herpetologist and quite a character. You would love her, Steve. And, but she was a big promoter, actually. She was a huge fan of snakes, and she really believed that we could form a bond with snakes. Who knew? And again, she was a little bit of a character if you know anything about her history, but she was right, as it turns out.
Well, maybe not for cobras being pets.
Not recommended. No. I agree.
but for other species of snake. Mm-hmm. So what is it for those of us, as I mentioned the word, who are cringing and running into the other room, snakes, how can you talk about snakes? How can they be pets? How can they be pets?
Well, you know, a couple of interesting facts here is, you know, the fear of snakes is something we learn. It's not part of our genetics. It's not innate, but it's something we learn very quickly. And it can be something that we really hold deep, deep, deep. And a lot of children, if they don't learn it, actually are fascinated by snakes and spiders and all sorts of animals. And what we found is that's actually the more natural state, is this fascination with animals. Our ability to form bonds with a variety of animals is actually pretty well known. We form bonds with all sorts of different animals, and it's really important to us, for our health, for their health and well-being.
Have you had clients who... let me rephrase the question. When you began to treat, I don't know, the profession calls it exotics.
Yeah.
And you said, I don't love that term, and I never have either.
Yeah.
But alternative pets or non-traditional pets, were you surprised at the very beginning? Now you wouldn't be. But at the very beginning, that the bond people really do sincerely develop with a pet lizard, for example, or a pet snake?
Yeah, I think sometimes it does catch you off guard when you first start working with these clients, because I think what's amazing is the lengths that they will go to and the depths they will go to seek medical care for these animals. And I think as a student, you always feel a little unsure of yourself. So it gets very interesting when you tell someone their rabbit, for example, is going to need a surgery, and it makes you very nervous to tell them, well, it's going to cost kind of a lot of money, sometimes hundreds of dollars, sometimes thousands of dollars. And I think what catches you off guard is not that the cost is there, because, you know, as veterinarians, we do our best to control those costs and keep them reasonable. But some of those owners don't blink at it. they're like, yes, please, please. When can you do it? When can I pay? I want this surgery done because my rabbit or my gecko or my chinchilla is so important to me that truly this amount of money doesn't matter. They're a family member to me. They're my companion. They're incredibly important. So while cost always matters, it doesn't matter when it's truly a part of their family.
Do we also underestimate, I don't know quite how to put this, because I'm not sure tortoise feel emotions quite like our dogs or cats, but do we underestimate the relationship that they have with us?
I think we do, and I think it always catches people off guard. It's actually one of my favorite things to bring up to new clients who have, when they're coming in for the first time with their tortoise or their turtle. I think more often than not, and I'd say probably close to 80, 90% of the time, they tell me, I am so surprised how attached I am to my turtle. I'm so surprised how smart my turtle is. I'm so surprised how much I know he likes a treat, strawberries, or a special food item.
Yeah.
And it really catches them off guard how much they are really feeling an emotional attachment with an animal that's so very different from us.
Well, since I began with tortoises, I'll continue. Or turtles, you know.
Yeah.
Do they know us? What do they know? Does the bond go both ways? So we know with dogs and cats, it does,
yeah.
Clearly. How about with pet reptiles?
Well, we're starting to understand this, that as we see people especially start to get more pet turtles. Actually, pet turtles and tortoises are one of the fastest growing pet populations we have in the U.S. that people seem to derive a lot of pleasure from interacting with their tortoise. Now, it's different than a dog or cat. It's different than it would be with
but
a bird.
But does the tortoise care? And
it
what
does.
What you that's what you talked about today, which I found so fascinating. No one else has ever that I've seen talked about this at a conference about the neurotransmitters that these a variety of different types of animals have.
Yeah.
And they do. And it's and they're not only mammals. And if they have the wiring, then they're going to have, for lack of a better way of saying it, feelings.
Yeah. They do seem, you know, I just did a great talk with Temple Grandin, and she was talking about it's time to stop saying animals, you know, animals feel fear. And that's an emotion. Animals do feel fear, and it's an emotional reaction because they do have, again, the nervous system that allows them to do that. And although reptile brains are very different than mammal brains, we know that those kind of ancient parts of the brain that generate fear still exist. But so do those ancient parts of the brain that generate pleasure and satisfaction. The endorphins are there, and it does seem like tortoises, especially those that we know respond to their owners, probably are having the same types of reactions that we know are happening in dogs and cats.
And is this what you just said probably true for lizards and for snakes and for other kind of mammals like pet hedgehogs or rabbits or ferrets?
Sure. I mean, I think what we're just on the cusp of understanding the true science, the neurotransmitter science behind our response to those animals, but also those animals' responses to us. We're starting to see it. We're starting to understand that science and get that data back. And I hope that more scientists invest and investigate that type of response so we can know those answers.
This is all why I love talking to Dr. Dana Varble. It's fascinating.
Good.
It really is. I mean, you know, even if you're not into friends, because you'd never, pet parrot, I would never do that.
Or
they're messy. Or a pet turtle. Oh my gosh, they're even messier. I wouldn't do that. But I think it's just interesting either which way. And if you do have a pet parrot or a pet anything that's different than a dog or a cat, I think, pay attention and you will probably understand your animal more than you might think.
Yeah, absolutely. Celebrate that bond with all the animals.
That's what she says. A great way to end it. Thank you, Dr. Varble.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Holly Agra is the co-owner of Chicago's Mercury Skyline Cruise Line. You know what? When you cross Michigan Avenue and you look down and you see boats, if you're looking on the east side and the southeast side in particular, and you see like three of them lined up or four of them lined up, that's you, Holly Agra, isn't it?
That's where we work every day, 7 days a week, and we just love it.
Well, I want to tell the story. There I was at WGN Radio. I don't know, was this 10 years ago, maybe more?
Oh, no, I think 20.
No, it wasn't that long ago. And I'm sitting in the studio. I've been at WGN that long, but I'm sitting in the studio, And this is the studio we had at Tribune Tower, right on Michigan Avenue. And walking down the street was Holly Agra, and that's who I'm talking to. And I wave, hello, Holly. And we did a segment then called the Celebrity Pet Segment. And I waved you inside, and you came in, and we talked a little about the Skyline Cruise Line and the offerings, the Architecture Cruise, which is so famous that you offer. That is just because that's the one done by the real docents from the Chicago Architecture Foundation. So we talked about that, and then there was a commercial break. At the commercial break, I said, Holly, how's business? And you said, it's, you know, okay, but I wish we can get more of those suburban folks in. And I said, it's because they have their dogs. So by the time they drive in, they go on the cruise. Then maybe they want to have lunch or dinner or whatever, and then drive back with all the traffic. They can't because their dogs have to go out. You should have a cruise for dogs. And you looked at me like, this guy's crazy. I said, would you try it once? And you said, sure, I'm up for anything. And at that point in time, commercials end. We're live back on the radio, and I announced you're going to do this. Would you have ever have thought that 10 years or maybe 20 years later, we'd still be talking about it?
Well, it's a lot of fun to talk about. It's even more fun to take your dog on an outing.
So you're doing this. You're still doing these canine cruises, and they're kind of like architecture cruises for dogs. The captain points out the parks with the most squirrels, the city's oldest fire hydrant. Notice I use the same jokes that I probably used 20 years ago as well. But, you know, they work. And what's most important is that people who live in the city, tourists who come to the city with their dogs, a surprising number of people do travel with their dogs, they're able to do this. And for however many, do you know how many years you've been doing this?
I really haven't counted, but I think it's about 20 years because
wow.
I think we did it after 9/11, hoping to encourage people who lived in our area to walk over with their dogs.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact year myself.
Not knowing if visitors would return, and, you know, here we find ourselves almost in an equal situation, sort of traumatic situation where it comes to, you know, travel and tourism.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is really, if you haven't taken the canine cruise, this is the perfect year to do it because I'm sure, similar to my family, everyone is so close to their dog now, working at home and just being home every day. It is even more traumatizing to leave your dog behind. So now you don't have to. You can come out, enjoy the city, and bring your dog with you.
Absolutely right. Now, I have a technical question to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still call it the poop deck when the dogs are on the cruise?
Oh, yes. Well, sometimes we do. But it's really, you know, we're lucky that we operate on the Riverwalk, and there is, you know, a fair amount of grassy areas.
Yes.
So we really don't have too much trouble with that on board.
And I want to be clear, if people aren't understanding, I mean, this is true. You actually go on this wonderful boat that's been taking tourists forever and continues to do so, and with your dog. So you, the family, can come with a dog or two, whatever it is, and you are welcome as long as it's a non-aggressive dog and okay socially with other dogs. But you are somewhat socially distanced anyway because you allow only a certain number because you don't want it too congested with dogs. And it is wonderful because it's always beautiful to go up the river, through the locks, out on the lake for just a little bit. And as you always do, this is not the Architecture Foundation cruise that you do, but the captain does offer some description of what you're seeing. And
it's
terrific. And the dogs are outdoors. They're mostly loving it. And I want to ask you this question, Holly. Well, actually, I have two questions. First question is, why is there always on every dog cruise some Jack Russell Terrier wearing a captain's hat?
Well, we love it. We welcome all types of costumes. Sometimes people dress to match their dog. It's incredible how many people look like their dog anyway.
Yes.
It's just this sort of phenomenon. But another interesting fact is that Chicago, was named one of the 10 best dog-friendly cities by Chewy.com.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, actually. So Chewy.com says not only is the dog cruise or the canine cruise that we're talking about one thing to do with your dog in Chicago, but they listed several others that are amazing. What are they?
Well, they talk about walking on the lakefront trail, and also now the flyover bridge is finished, so you can, following the canine cruise, you could walk over there to Navy Pier, walk on the lakefront trail and enjoy the lake. Also, there is a fantastic dog park, dog beach at Montrose Harbor. I'm sure you've been there many times.
Yes, yes, it's the, I believe
it's another great dog park at Erie Street, which is just fantastic, and that's right along the river.
Montrose Dog Beach, Holly, I think
in addition, you can go for a burger over at the Sheraton Grand just across the river from us.
Okay. And the Montrose Dog Beach is, I believe, the largest in the country. And it's not only the Sheraton Grand. Yes, that's a great place to go for a burger and sit outside with the dog. But there are probably 150 restaurants, maybe more, I bet more, in Chicago where you can sit outside with your dog, which is just wonderful.
And I think those have really grown, you know, and been increased this year while so many restaurants have added outdoor cafes. You know, it's just been fantastic for our family.
Yeah, and the other question I was going to ask you before is, have you ever lost a dog? Has a Labrador or has a dog ever jumped into the river?
No dogs have jumped in. No people have jumped in.
I hope.
We've kept everybody on board.
Yeah. And the best thing of all is this lady right here, Holly Agra, it's an honor of my career, has made me an honorary captain. So on a dog cruise, you never know. I, Robin and I, my wife and I, and our dog, go on at least one of these every year. So you might see me with my honorary captain shirt, which is very, very official. When is the canine cruise, Holly?
The canine cruise begins Saturday, July 10th. It departs at 10:15. It's a 90-minute experience, and the cost is $39 for adults, $17 for kids, $8 for dogs, and free for kids under 5.
I love it. Well, you're wonderful. You do so much for Chicago, you and your husband Bob, and an example of what really amounts to a small business, and that's the meat and potatoes of any big city, including this one. Holly, it is always good to talk to you.
Great to hear from you, Steve. Have a great day.
Oh, no, your dog is afraid of fireworks? Now what do you do? Well, there are still some things you can do, even though we're just about a week away from July 4th. And it's not that your dog is unpatriotic. That's not the case. It's that they're terrified, right? I mean, and it's understandable. I mean, no one is sending the dogs an email explaining they're supposed to be happy and excited. This is a holiday. All they know is they're hearing a very loud, remember, their hearing is so much better than ours, unexpected sound. And if you live near fireworks, they may be smelling them as well. And that's a strange and sometimes scary smell to dogs. So what do you do about it? Well, on the show last week, we spoke to Dr. Fila Jokala about it. She's a veterinarian who certainly knows behavior. And we went into detail. You could check out the podcast that's on my website, and that's stevedale.tv. I mean, the great news is that there are so many products now that can help that weren't available even 5 or 6 or 7 years ago. We're talking about pheromone products. We're talking about a thunder shirt, potentially. And, you know, everything doesn't help the same dog, and it depends on how fearful the dog is. There's a probiotic called Calming Care. That's from Purina. There are nutritional supplement type products. One is called Zilkine that you can ask your veterinarian about. I mean, there are lots of choices that are available that can tone down that anxiety at least just a bit. But if your dog is inconsolable and you know from previous years, probably the dog will even be more, if possible, inconsolable this year. What do you do? And this is the time to take action. For those dogs that are going to be terrified, it's predictable. They've been terrified in the past. please contact your veterinarian. There are anti-anxiety medications that can truly help, and your veterinarian will know what to do. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, right here, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN.